Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purpose. In the name of Jesus. The epiphany of the end from the beginning. Why Jesus begins his ministry with the wedding at Cana. Why with a marriage kicking off the clock? Yes, there is truly no other God like our God, for he declares in things from beginning things. And he gives you the whole plot at the beginning of the book. And yet, you are not disappointed at the end, or at least to keep on reading. Jesus, fully man, begins his ministry like a man in the Garden of Eden fully began his, with a wedding, the order of creation in the chapel at Eden, where from the side of Adam came the bride. You see, the order of creation always continues with new creation, and the Lord continued to use elements to broadcast his counsel and purpose. Can you smell what the rock has cooking? We have before us today the elements of water and wine at a wedding, new beginnings. Because what is marriage? Union, communion, new beginnings, where two become one. A man and a woman speaking covenant vows one with another. And then what? A reception, a feast, celebration, and joy. But you know the problem. The wedding at Cana, Epiphany, comes around every year this time in the church calendar. You've heard it once, you've heard it a million times, right? They run out of wine. The drinks dry up. Party foul, the caterer howls. You know the problem. But the wedding at Cana is not primarily about fixing a party problem. Then what is it? I told you. It's an epiphany, hence the go-round every year. It is a revealing of who Jesus is. And who is Jesus? He is beginning and he is end, Alpha and Omega. So Jesus is revealing yet again his whole MO, which is public, covenantal, communal, and forward-looking. Forward-looking joy. Not abolishing the wedding, not abolishing the feast, but transforming it. And it's a sign at a reception, a sign of himself and thus receiving him. And the climax of the sign is that he reveals what kind of Savior he is and how he gives himself. He supplies what is lacking. He gives joy that does not run out. So the miracle is not about better wine. It's about a better covenant. It's not about intoxication, but about communion. The wedding runs out of wine, but that is not embarrassment. It is exposure. Because the truth is, even in earthly marriages, the same joy of the wedding runs out. Celebration often collapses when reality bites and human provisions fail. So we must know that in all the feasts, cannot be saved by us. Our jars can run empty, and only love can fill them. And reaffirmation of the wedding covenant vows, that's a covenant. And yes, that's why I am the type of pastor that is for reaffirming wedding vows, because they affirm reconciliation, restoration, and recreation. They remind the couple of what they are to do. They are to do and live in the remembrance of the vows, union, communion, a wedding, water, and wine. You see, because when the jars ran empty, what does Jesus do? When jars run empty, Jesus creates catholicity. Catholicity meaning all one, union, universal, the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. So in light of that, I just got back from a family wedding this weekend, and it was a gathering, a family gathering. Relatives joining each other around the table. And what are they doing around the table? They are remembering the former things about the bride and the groom. They, in that way, become a part of the history. Bridal parties are there. What do they do before the wedding? They rehearse. They rehearse well before the wedding. And then they have a meal, table fellowship as well. And so do we, church. The church, as the bride of Christ, are rehearsing too. Gathered as one. Rehearsing for what? The marriage feast of the Lamb and His kingdom, which has no end. And no end means it doesn't run out. But know this, that all our lives are a mini rehearsal dinner, so to speak. You can very well call it a living liturgy, too. Day in and day out, preparing, working, so that we may rest and at least celebrate something. Mini rehearsals. Practice. And practice makes perfect, right? Jesus himself said, as we read in the Gospel of Matthew, to be perfect, as I told the little ones. And I answered the question, how do we do that? How do we practice? How do we get perfect? We practice what he tells us, what he says, and where he gathers. Practicing for the ceremony to come. And then we keep practicing until the day has come. And in that way, we together fight for joy. Now that's what the water is for at the wedding at Cana. The water that was used up in the jars was for the purification rites. So you could kind of see that as like you've got to wash your hands before you eat, right? All the guests, if they were to get into the reception, you see, had to wash up first. Then you were considered purified to enter the feast. And this is the thing, too, in life. When you run out of water, what happens? You don't have anything to clean yourselves with, so you get dirty. You know what? Dirt robs us of joy. Every exasperation of joy in a marriage can be seen as dirty water. Not water under the bridge, but contaminated. And this is why we're so big on purified water, especially to drink. And so were the Jews. Because they at least knew that you need the water in order to get in on the wedding festivities. So remember first the water, then Jesus transforms it into wine. When first news of it comes, Jesus' mother says, do whatever he tells you. No advice, no explanation, only listen to the word. But there's always the details of time. Jesus replies, but my hour has not yet come. He relays that his coming hour is intimately connected here. Because if I do this now, it will portray my hour, which hasn't come yet, but is coming. Declaring the end from the beginning. Time. Patience. Patience is a virtue, right? Patience is needed in marriage, right? But you see, Cana is not the destination. It's the announcement. Here comes the bride. The hour of the bride has come, and she shall not be robbed of her joy. The bride of the groom dreams of this moment their whole lives. So let not this joyful moment fade away. They want to be kept in it forever if they could. And Jesus knows, and he says, yes, I will provide a way for that to happen. In time, just like now, he prepares a way. So Jesus says, fill the 6 jars back up with water. The water being the sign that will be transformed. And the servants listen. Servants fill them, not just a little bit, fill them to the brim. You see, later, when the miracle occurs, notice how the servants are the only ones who knows what happened. They saw the transformation, and nobody else did. Nobody else has a clue how the transformation happens. But they know what the element is. It is no longer water, but wine. Jesus says, now go, take, and drink. And you know how it ends, because you know how it began. Jesus begins like this, his ministry, because this first sign, this first cup, points to the final cup. The message at Cana points to the cross. and what came out of that. You see, God puts the first man to sleep in the garden and creates the bride out from his side. And on Calvary, from his writhing side, comes the bride by his sleep of death in a garden. And it is all from side to side, how it begins and how it ends. You will know the end from the beginning, the Genesis, how Christ creates his bride, because he is the beginning and the end. For you to drink freely. It's free because he will pay the ultimate full price, holding nothing back. It is the cup that seals the union. And the final word is not restraint, but abundance, new creation. Because the bright and morning star does not stay in the ground, he sprouts forth, fulfilling that he is the true vine and you are his branches. When the jars are full and the cup is given, then the feast is certain. And this is the feast. Today you are yet again the bride to be rehearsing the certainty, the foundation of your faith, to drink freely, not to forget life, but to receive it, not accident, but revelation, transformation that the guest did not pay for. They didn't earn it. They simply received it. Drink freely is the gospel because it is the beginning of how man is formed and how man continues to be formed and to multiply and fill the earth. So practice this. Many rehearse it into Jesus, where the union is not achieved but received, where the feast will not run out, and where the wine will not fail, and where the bridegroom will not leave. That's what this hour is for. For the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. You shall know the end from the beginning. Christ the Lord creating, God the Father giving. A manifestation of his glory revealed. And I love how the text closes when it says, and his disciples believed. Believed what? Believed that what was empty he filled. Believed that the feast is sure. And believed in drinking freely. See, church, everything we do in this hour is practice. Practice for the wedding. The wedding now awaits. And you have been purified. You have been purified by the word that says what it does and does what it says. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things not yet done. And he says, his counsel shall stand and his purpose will happen. The purpose of it is all in Jesus' first sign and the wedding is to come and receive the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear church, the jars have been filled. They have been filled up. So come, let's go have a drink. In the name of Jesus, amen.